Earlier this summer, Governor Andrew Cuomo directed municipalities all over the state to determine what shape policing should take in their community for the future. In order to implement those visions, though, local elected officials and community activists will likely have to grapple with the existing contracts between police departments and their local government. These contracts don't just lock in pay and benefits, but in most cases detail how disciplinary issues will be addressed and other areas targeted for reform. To understand how a contract impacts day-to-day policing, we're going to look at the city of Buffalo, and to do that, we're joined by Jim Heaney, editor of Investigative Post, a Western New York nonprofit news outlet you can find at investigativepost.org. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Thank you.
So back in June, you got a look at the 382-page document that comprises the contract between the city of Buffalo and their police department. Can you describe a little bit about what it covers and how it all came together?
Yeah, our reporter, Jeff Kelly, actually did the heavy lifting on the story. It's kind of a mess. It's a kind of a accumulation of contract settlements and arbitration awards and memorandums, et cetera, et cetera, that isn't terribly well organized and isn't easy to navigate. As you mentioned at the top of the show, it deals with, you know, wages and health insurance and other benefits, pensions, but it also deals with kind of bread and butter issues that affect the operations of the department. And I think there are two. Jeff's reporting concluded that there were a couple of key areas where the contract really worked to the disadvantage of the city and its citizens. One is how police accused of misconduct are disciplined. State law and the city charter lay out a fairly streamlined process that ultimately leaves the decision in the hands of the police commissioner. But the PBA over the years has been successful negotiating amendments to the contract that really take that decision-making out of the commissioner's hands and lays out a very layer after layer of steps and processes that ultimately lead to a decision by an independent arbitrator. So the police commissioner really, at the end of the day, cannot ultimately discipline his officers. So that's one area. And, you know, police abuse here is a big issue. And I think, you know, we did a piece about a month and a half ago about an officer who was suspended without pay for using very, very vile language on a young woman while he was being videoed. And, you know, we wound up getting the officer's disciplinary record, and he'd been investigated, it was either 36 or 38 times. And yet he's been promoted. He's gone from an officer to a lieutenant. So it really underscores the difficulty the department has in disciplining police officers. On top of that, the Internal Affairs Unit, which is responsible for investigating police misconduct, it's not only staffed by fellow police officers. They're all part of the same union, which means you've got union members investigating other union members, which poses a pretty obvious conflict of interest.
And after a quick break, we'll continue our conversation about the Buffalo Police Department's contract with the City of Buffalo.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
We're speaking with Jim Heaney, editor of the Investigative Post, a nonprofit news outlet in Western New York. And before the break, Jim, you were explaining what's in the Buffalo Police Department's contract with the city. But what's the status of that contract, considering it expired late last year?
Well, they're operating under the terms of the expired contract. I think, you know, I just spent a little bit of time talking about discipline. I think the other area that's notable is seniority. Seniority dictates practically all assignments, be it overtime or which unit or precinct police work out of. All but 10 of the department's more than 700 employees are part of the police union. And so as a result of that and a lack of management rights, for example, the head of the homicide squad, the head of the narcotics squad, the head of the sex abuse squad, they're not selected by the commissioner based on merit. They're there because of seniority. The most senior job applicant for those very important positions are determined by seniority, period. And it makes it very difficult for a commissioner to run a department when he's got as few management rights as he has. Overtime is all dictated by seniority. And what typically happens is officers are nearing retirement who have the most seniority, grab, you know, a disproportionate amount of the overtime, which pushes up their pay, which pushes up their pension payouts, which pushes up the city's expense to make those payouts. So along with discipline, seniority, and the lack of management rights that accompany it, I think are probably the two biggest issues in the contract. In terms of where things stand, they've been negotiating on and off over the course of the last year, year and a half. They're scheduled to renew negotiations in the next week or two. But what's interesting is when you listen to Mayor Brown, there's been a lot of rhetoric from the mayor, both on national cable TV and locally, about how the union's on the wrong side of history. The union is an obstacle to reform. But when you talk to the head of the PBA and you say, what proposals, and the mayor's, you know, Byron Brown has been mayor now. He's been mayor now for, you know, going on 15 years. Negotiated a number of different police contracts. What has the mayor ever proposed by way of changing the disciplinary process? Union says he never has. What's been the mayor's proposals when it comes to changing seniority? Mayor has never made any kind of proposal. So you've got the mayor criticizing, in effect, the union for not accepting proposals that he's never made. And I think it casts the mayor in a very poor light, because while he's trying to act as though he's a champion of reform, he really hasn't acted where it's counted, which is at the negotiating table.
From a practical stance, though, what sort of leverage does he have at the negotiating table if he did want to try to get concessions on some of those issues, when he really has to focus on getting concessions on monetary issues? You know, that's got to be where he really has to focus things, because, you know, he's a city with a financial crunch. And if you can maybe get them to give on one thing, maybe that'll happen. But to give on two, that seems like it's a pretty heavy lift.
Well, it could be, but you have to try. And well, you know, when it comes to discipline, it's interesting. Jeff, in interviewing legal experts, they pointed out that the contract language that makes it difficult to discipline cops, because they've taken away the commissioner's ability to impose discipline. The cities of Schenectady and New York City challenged that language and succeeded in court. So when it comes to discipline, he may not have to bargain anything. He may have to tell his law department to file a lawsuit and pursue litigation, because the city charter says that the job of disciplining cops is the commissioner's. And the legal argument that the Schenectady and New York City made successfully is that a contract cannot supersede a city law. And so it begs the question, why hasn't the mayor pursued that? Why has, you know, so that might be one thing to take off the negotiating table. You know, look, negotiating a reform is not going to be easy, but it's never even been attempted. And I think the timing now, in light of the protests and the focus on the police department, a lot of people here are starting to argue that if there was ever a time that was right for pressing the union for concessions in certain areas, now is that time. And from what the union has said, the city has not been proactive at all. And on this point, we tried to get the mayor to talk to us on numerous occasions, and it's radio silence, which is very typical. You know, this is a mayor who, over his time in office, has a very very clear track record of not tackling the tough issues. And police reform is about as tough as it comes. So I'm not surprised that he hasn't pursued reforms through negotiations, because he really hasn't attempted to get reforms in any number of aspects of how this town is operated.
Where do you see the contract heading in the future? Do you think there's going to be a new approach from Mayor Byron Brown that's maybe more engaged in terms of the shape of policing in the city, or is it going to be more of the same?
I think the Common Council here, the City Council, has made some indications that they're going to become more involved. The council to this point has been part of the problem. I mean, they've got a police oversight committee that only meets a couple times a year and really doesn't do anything of consequence. But I think the protests have spurred at least some on the council to take up the issue more seriously. So I think it may depend in part on how proactive the Common Council is going to be. And I think in light of our story last week, I think the mayor is probably going to come under increasing pressure to actually make a good faith effort to attempt to either negotiate reforms or, in the case of discipline, litigate. Because I think his passiveness has now been exposed. And I think politically it may be difficult for him to continue to talk tough but do nothing.
Well, we've been speaking with Jim Heaney, editor of the Investigative Post, a Western New York nonprofit news outlet you can find at investigativepost.org. Jim, thank you so much for making the time.
Take care.
You've been listening to the Capitol Press Room, which you can take with you on the go wherever you download podcasts. Our engineer in Syracuse is Dave White. My producer in Albany is Tim Williams. I'm David Lombardo. Thanks for listening.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.